see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we're continuing our conversation with Lou Lindy. Lou is in studio with us today, and he is going to continue talking about his fascinating life and some of the good work that he has done over the years. Great to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in today. So we talked in our first session about your career as an attorney and as a social worker at what was called the Hastings State Hospital.
State Hospital.
Now you are doing, in your retirement, you have been doing some pro bono legal work. Tell us about that, please.
Well, I started in 91 with an agency, Southern Minnesota Regional Legal Services of St. Paul. They had an office in Red Wing. I used to go down to Red Wing and do family law work. I did that for a few years, and then I did work out of St. Paul. I did mainly divorce work, and in those days, well, even now, the poor cannot afford a divorce. A divorce today, just with no complications at all, can run around $2,000, and most people don't have $2,000 to spend. And the thing is that was kind of messy work in a way. One of the things I learned a lot about marriage is one of the big things, of course, in divorce work is infidelity. That'll kill a marriage in about 5 minutes. And then, of course, you have chemical abuse. And the other thing, too, which is interesting, I know this is talked about a lot, is people don't know how to, they have a difference of handling money. They don't know how to handle money. And that, so it gets to be a variety of things. But I felt that it helped people out.
Did you find that your social work background actually helped? You almost had to be a counselor piece,
well,
too.
It helped to understand, except that when you're doing pro bono work, you're just handling the legal problem, period. All the people I dealt with could use some counseling, but my focus was on their getting them out of that, helping them move on. But, people that go through a divorce, they have problems. There's no question about that. Then in the 2000, I became a widower in 98. Marcella died of cancer. We married about 40 years. And then I started to work with legal assistants of Dakota County, and I did family law work there, too. They have their office in Apple Valley. But then for the last couple of years now, I don't do family law anymore while it's involved. But I go to the Lewis House here in Hastings, which is a shelter for battered women. The agency is run by an organization called 360 Communities, out of Lakeville, and they also have a shelter in, I think it's Egan or Burnsville. The shelter here in Hastings, and their capacity is 35, and usually they're full, and of course, you have both women and children there, and of course, these women are in the process of getting an order of protection. That's a legal process that they have here in Minnesota. And they do have what they call advocates, women that help these women go through the, you know, domestic. And, of course, they provide counseling, that sort of thing. My role with the Lewis House is to deal with legal problems. I mean, they probably, it's a child custody, or they want to get a divorce, or I had one case where she was involved in a criminal case and she wanted to get some advice about how she should testify, that sort of thing. Of course, the thing that's very evident is that domestic abuse is very prevalent in our society, and the sad thing is that a lot of it never gets reported. In other words, they say that before a woman will even move out on her own safety, she has been abused 7 times, you know. And the thing is that with men, so that's I don't know if it's a mystery, but why do men use brute force and violence against their spouse? That's the way they handle their problems, is through violence. And as you know, here in Minnesota, 20-some women are murdered every year. Once they reach that point where they want to leave the house or leave the family or leave the marriage, that's when they're very vulnerable to violence.
And most of those murders are domestic violence murders?
Yeah, I'm talking about domestic violence, yeah. So the thing is that to look beyond that, one of the things that more emphasis should be placed on is this premarital counseling. You know, help people, and that's true in the divorce too, that I think what happens with, I'm not talking about every couple, but what happens, they start to go together and they get a real strong sexual bond. And they don't think about anything else. Well, of course, as we all know, the sexual bond kind of disappears after a while. And there you are looking at each other. So they never get into deal with, you know, raising children or money or all that sort of thing. Or just the idea of sharing your life together. That's unfortunate that more emphasis isn't placed on that. And, of course, the other thing that happens, too, is that nowadays people just wind up living together. And, of course, in Minnesota, there is no people live together without the benefit of marriage. If they want to bust up, there's no legal process that takes care of that. But if you're married, of course, then you do have a legal process you can follow. So it's all kind of related, marriage and domestic abuse and that sort of thing. And the other thing, too, is that, and this is getting back, I'm going to shift a little bit over to Hastings Family Service, our single-parent families. We have an abundance of those in our society, and it's really tough for a woman. Most of them are women, and it's really difficult to be a father and a mother to these children. And then the other thing is that sometimes single parents aren't economically equipped to make a living.
The cost of daycare is so expensive.
And the other thing is that, let's face it, maybe this is old-fashioned, but children need both parents to survive. They need to find out, well, for example, single parent woman, the boy and the girl they don't get a chance to learn what a man is like and what a man does and all that sort of thing. And so a child grows up in that environment and they're kind of like, well, they're missing something. They're missing that parental support, that sort of thing.
The Lewis House is a great place for people to go.
It's a wonderful resource. And of course, some counties don't even have a shelter for them. I don't think Goodyear County has one at all. I think they send their people down to Rochester. The other thing, too, that under the Minnesota law, when a man is adjudicated as a domestic abuser, the judge is supposed to refer them to an anger management program. Well, anger management programs are almost non-existent in Minnesota. And the thing is, and that's what happened, and this man, he gets out of home and out of the marriage, and he's still going along with all of his problems. And in Duluth now, they've done something. They have a program for anger management for abusers. Makes all the difference in the world. And what you're doing, to even be a little naive about it, they're even saving some marriages and families. But it's very important for the man to get some management is anger. And that's non-existent in a sense. I can talk about Dakota County. We don't have an anger management program in Dakota County.
So that's a need. Well, you know, you mentioned your wife, Marcella, a wonderful partner, as you mentioned, for 40 years. Tell people the story about how you met.
Well, July 1st, 1957, I went to work at the Hastings Hospital. And that time, the medical director was Dr. William Sheely. And about once a month, he would call a staff meeting. He'd bring in a patient and interview the patient, and it'd be kind of training. And it was, Marcel then was, she trained psychiatric aides. She was on the staff. And I always remember, this is the first meeting I went to, I always remember, I guess I was introduced to her, but there she was in her white starched uniform. And I was all very impressed. And of course, she was a beautiful woman.
Yes.
Woman in many ways. And of course, the other thing is that she was a widow with three children. It wasn't until about a year later that I guess we became what they call an item. Then we got married in 59. And then 6 weeks later, I adopted children.
How did she lose her first husband?
He died of pneumonia. It was kind of an interesting thing. He had TB. And in those days, to cure they'd always collapse the good lung. Well, anyway, what happened? He got pneumonia. And that's what, he was only 28 years old. So it was tough. They were living in Chicago, and they just moved into this new home. I don't know if she ever really got over that. It was quite a blow to lose your husband like that. She was born and raised in Rosemont, and then you probably, well, in Hastings, everybody knows, or a lot of people know, that Ben and Rosie Sontag. Well, Rosie Sontag is the sister of Marcella. So that's one of the reasons she came back to Hastings, for moral support and all that sort of thing.
And look what she found when she came back.
Well, I'm not perfect at all, but we made it. But it was an interesting thing, and of course, I think I was kind of I was 31, I got married, and you know, the fact I had social work training and all that, you know, I was supposed to understand everything about marriage and children, that sort of thing.
Well, you were thrown right into it, though.
Yeah. So I had to, you know, had to kind of learn a few things, too, along the way, and I was... Well, I guess I made it, you know, but it was quite a big jump for a bachelor.
And you settled in Hastings in what year?
Well, I came to work in 57, and I've been here ever since. Been here for, 60 years. So, yeah, time really flies.
Time does fly. What was the reason that you saw a need to found Hastings Family Service?
It was an interesting phenomenon. There was a lady by the name of Dawn Sheridan. Everybody knows her. She was a very interesting person, and she was a big-hearted person. She was always interested in the poor, and then she had in her basement, she had kind of a storage spot for clothes and food and all that sort of thing. And then there was two other women, Mary Jean Engstrom, who is still alive, and then Virginia McHale, who is deceased. And Don Sharon's deceased, too. And we met for a couple of years and talked about this. And then because of my, well, I'm bragging a little bit now, because of my social work training, Indiana University, I had an idea about working with the poor and neighborhood housing and that sort of thing. So I gave them my knowledge, and then we talked, we visited, spent a lot of time at the kitchen table, and then because of my legal training, I did the incorporation. You know, we became incorporated April 17th, 1970. We signed the paperwork that, I always remember that evening, it was a nice evening. We signed the paperwork, and then we went to the Steamboat Inn and Fresco Sounds for dinner.
Celebrated.
And that was the launch. And of course, the first building we were in was right behind the post office. There's an old building there, two-story, it was an apartment. And it's torn down now, but I can't prove it, but if I look long enough, I think that building had been condemned by the city. It was
so the price was right.
Yeah, running on the city. And so since that time then, Hastings Family Service has been about 6 or 7 locations. And, of course, once they bought the old Eddie's Drugstore, that was... And the first 5 or 6 years, the four of us kind of ran it. And they had a clothes closet and food shelf and that sort of thing. But it's amazing how it's grown. And, of course... over the years, we had Janet Grotz. She was executive director. And, of course, now we have Chris Cope, who's been director, I think, about 5 or 6 years. And so we've had some interesting people. And of course, Dawn Sheridan, you know, she had a lot of executive ability and talent and that sort of thing. And the one thing that made her successful is she was not afraid to ask for money and ask for help. And that's a real gift that people have.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can go up and say, oh, I need some money, or I need this, or I need that. She did that, and that's what really drove the agency, I think, that's starting out.
And look what it is today.
It is. And, you know, the other interesting thing is that the reason I've stayed with it is that half the people they help are children. And that's where you get back into my comments about single-parent families.
Oh, Lou, we could talk forever. Great stories. Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
We're really grateful that you shared so many good things about your life, and you really have had such a great life. Haven't you? More to come.
Well, yeah.
You don't know what more is coming. You just never know.
How long it's going to last, we don't know.
So far, so good.
Take advantage of every time.
No kidding. I'm with you on that. We want to say thank you to our guest, Mr. Lou Lindy. We're grateful that you came in today to share with us. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.